three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. We're firing from the hip. Andrew and I haven't discussed the title for this program, but I think we're going to call it, "We'll See You in Game 3, Motherfucker."
Seems about right, doesn't it?
We got two Game 3s. The best words in the English language are Game 7. Second to that is Game 3s. Andrew Kenyon, say hello.
Hey, everybody. This is cool. We are recording. I think they're still doing the post-game wrap on the Melbourne game. So we are literally just like, turned off the TV, ran in, set up the recording, let's go.
Yeah, and this is an inspiration from Cool Cat's Corner, you know, real short. Well, we're going to try and be short, but quick fire podcast. We've just had Game 3. I'll let you take the floor. Like Game 3, I mean, you just saw it. Sykes and Creek combined for 52 points.
Yeah, man. I love it seeing like what we would call over here the derby, you know, the throwdown. The emotion of it, I really like. It's like almost sort of bringing back the old Tigers Magic kind of rivalries.
Absolutely.
Back in the day. It was great. And then Mitch Creek fired up.
Bless Mitch Creek. Man, that guy. He's a local you can put your money on, isn't he? He's tough. He's hurt. Listen to his stat line. 26, 9 of 18 from the field. Didn't shoot great from outside, but hit one when it really mattered. 10 free throw attempts, which was second to only Wetzel in the game. Yeah. I thought he was just so good. He is, I think, the best local as far as NBL production. Yep. Landau's sort of like a bigger guy that you don't normally get your money's worth them, but Creek, he can do it all and he looks so good. But
I'd love to see Creek's fourth quarter stats just alone.
You know, that's something I was thinking myself. I was like, I would love to see some fourth quarter stats and on-off metrics because, gee, when Landau fouled out, Melbourne just died in the ass. There was nothing there. What do you think?
Yeah, it was the same. You know, Landau came in, he got that alley-oop play, and you thought, oh, they're going to go push ahead now. But it didn't happen. The thing that struck me straight away is I think they scored like 30 points in the first quarter, something thereabouts. They were on track for 120. And they finished with
28.
79. Yeah, 79.
Nine points in the fourth quarter for Melbourne to lose 90-79 by 11. I want to bring up some guys. Oh, you go, Andrew.
I was just going to say the reason I reckon for that is because I made a tweet saying it's like playing whack-a-mole when you play Melbourne because the ball just pings around.
I wanted to know what you meant by that. Yeah.
Pings around and any player is going to hurt you at any point in time. It's like you have the Goulding few minutes and then you have the Landau a couple of minutes and then, McCarron will do something. So you never know who's going to hurt you. And where I think they fell apart is they went too Hobson-centric.
I felt that too. I mean, I was glad to see Hobson get something going. I mean, he's on a team that, you know, this is the most import unfriendly team in the league, but he had 19 points and he was a negative 20 plus minus, but I don't really believe plus minus that much. But I want to go back to Goulding.
Yeah.
14 points, had a bit of a stretch, but ended 5 of 16, 30%. I just don't know what Melbourne were playing at. They had time. I thought they really panicked. They were down about 8 points, and they were just jacking up SHIT, Andrew Kenyon, didn't you think?
Yeah, they were
jacking
rattled.
Up threes.
Oh. Just trying to race back into the lead, you know, within as few plays as possible.
In a game where the whistle was just mental, I mean, how many fouls? Melbourne got called for 20. They got called for 29 fouls.
Yeah.
And Southeast Melbourne 27. So in a game where there was just, you know, the foul line was whoever wanted to get there, they chose to just jack up threes constantly to end the game. Goulding in particular had a couple that I thought were just egregious.
Yeah. Tack the rim.
I didn't like the strategy. Even if you're down that much, stop the clock. Yep. Chip away at the lead. You know, don't just jack up. And if you're going to take threes, I don't mind open threes. That's fine. But not some of the ones they took. They were dreadful. Hobson, Goulding, Barlow just seemed to is a six shooter from the hip, all of three from the outside. Let's go back to Southeast Melbourne. Start of the year, we spoke about Kiefer Sykes versus John Robertson. I mean, are your chips all in with Kiefer Sykes? I mean, let me make the case for kind of John Robertson. I mean, this team, Southeast Melbourne shot four from 25, 16% from the outside. Liafa, 1 of 6. Cam Glidden, 0 of 2. Donut game, only played 8.5 minutes. Tarangi, 0 of 3. Donuts across the ball. How Tarangi played 21 minutes in this game, I'll never know. But sorry, my original question was, I mean, Kiefer Sykes played that well, but I still look at this team and go, boy, if they had some consistent shooting, they'd be a better team. But Andrew, can you have to take the floor?
Look, I'm all about Sykes. He's got grunt, and Robertson didn't have that same grunt. They would have shot a few more threes, but Kiefer Sykes was doing his damage. And Sadia, the giant killer teardrop, you know, he was that give and go between he and Creek, where he just elevated for the layup, like just sensational stuff. Like you weren't getting that from Robertson.
He's
up and in on defense as well. So I love Kiefer Sykes. I reckon he's brilliant. I think he and Bryce Cotton are the two point guards of the league.
Yeah,
they got to keep him. They got to bring him back. He's a stud.
He's everywhere too. He's like he's butter that covers all the way to the toast, all the way to the crust, all the way around. No, I'm a fan.
It seems like he cares. He really seems to be bought in. Does. Like, you know.
Yeah, no, I was very impressed by him. No, I still like Robertson for what he can do. I mean, there are a lot of teams. Forget Southeast Melbourne wanting Robertson back. There are teams that would have killed for him. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but small diminutive guards who can shoot the piss out of it kind of do really well in the NBL.
Yeah, I think there's a place for him in the league.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, imagine a backcourt of Sykes and Robertson. Is it too small? Or would
it's too small, but it'd be fun to watch.
It'd be fun to watch for sure.
Well, maybe they could get rid of Brokoff then, who seems to be a complete waste of space in 3.1.
Wow. I mean, jeepers creepers. Look at this, 0-4. So you've got Tarangi, Brokoff, and Glidden, none of them hitting a shot from the field. Brokoff got 4 points all from the line. So none of those guys hit a single shot and they won this game. What the fuck? Let's talk about a little bit of home cooking and stuff, like the whistle, man. What did you think from an aesthetic standpoint? What did you think from a tinfoil hat standpoint?
Okay. I don't mind it because I reckon it's finals intensity and I like that. I think the refs really painted themselves into a corner. They called it early and they had to keep calling it. So I didn't think it was anything too bad. There's a couple they missed, a couple that were probably a bit soft. But overall, I don't think they changed the outcome of the game. I thought it was good. I was bought in on this game the whole way, and, you know, eyes glued to the TV set. So yeah,
fun one to watch. And I thought, I'm not a big fan of watching guys shoot free throws. You know, you can go down to any gym or any court and watch guys do that. But these free throws had a certain level of anxiety to them. They were still enjoyable to watch. I mean, riddle me this. I mean, we did this last time. Body was on. We did kind of a who am I. I'm going to give you someone's stat line and you try and tell me who it was. 26 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 4 from the inside, 0 of 1 from outside. No free throw attempts, 5 assists, 3 turnovers. Could be any number of players, but who is it?
Tarangi?
It's Mitch McCarron.
Oh, okay.
Where was he in this game? He didn't have fouls. He only played 26 minutes. He was invisible out there. I thought there's been this push towards Hobson, and it's kind of changed the way they did business. And, well, it worked for them, obviously, in game one, but didn't work for them today. But that stat line from McCarron, I've never seen a McCarron stat line that bad this season.
No, he's usually pretty reliable to get, you know.
Yeah, like 10, 5, 5, and 8, you know.
Just plug the gaps as required. It didn't happen. Yeah, so I think that maybe goes back to that point about them. They got too excited about Hobson's form, and I think it took away from the whole of the team. So
yeah,
makes a big turnaround from two games. How do you get you go? Yeah, from did you pumped well, in that first game?
Did you watch that game? I watched seriously 5 minutes of it, and then I saw three really bad defensive plays in a row, and I just switched off. I went, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. Oh, they were down 30. I thought, nah, and I watched maybe 3 minutes of that game. Didn't bother. Did you watch any of it? Could you make any sense of it?
I watched the first half, and then as it went into halftime, I started cooking dinner. And then it was second half, and I was like, this is boring. Turned off, and me and my kids ate tacos. So that was a better option.
Can I say something? And I'm looking at the stat box and something that I don't think is a coincidence. This particular player only played 9 minutes despite not being in foul trouble. Who am I? Who is it?
Adnum.
For the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Adnum.
Exactly. Kyle Adnum, 9 minutes, 0 of 2 from the field. 4 of 4 from the free throw line, but I didn't particularly like when they went down, I think their biggest margin, late-ish in the second half, he was on the floor. And I just didn't like the look and feel. Yeah. I thought he was overwhelmed by Illy and McCarron or whoever his guy was. So
Liafa took all those minutes.
I'd say 9 minutes might be any more than 10 minutes would be, you know, quite generous minutes-wise going into game three would be my suspicion.
And not much from Cam Glidden either.
Cam Glidden, 8.5 minutes, had 4 fouls though.
Okay.
But dearie me, this cast of like the local sort of fringe boomery talent, jeepers creepers. Golding, not bad, but not far from his standard. Adam Gibson didn't play because he's hurt and old. Glidden was atrocious. Brokoff was very, very average. Tarangi, I know he's New Zealand, but you know he's in this group with them. And then McCarron wasn't great. And then Landau getting fouled out, man. And this is the thing. I think people were a bit sort of pushing the Melbourne are going to win this thing easy with Cotton gone.
Yep.
Fouls. You cannot predict these refs and what they're going to do. And you just saw both him and JLA get foul trouble, and that was about it. But let's talk about game three. That's obviously – well, we don't know where it's going to be played. I assume it's going to be in Melbourne.
Sydney.
Oh, it's going there again?
Stan Sydney, yeah, all three games.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, then in that case, does that – who's winning game three and why in your eyes?
Oh, look, you still got to say Melbourne.
Remember now, it's a United home game.
Yeah, yeah. And you still got to say Melbourne United, irrespective. Just because of that talent level, you wouldn't expect them to play, like, to choke it away. They sort of choked it away. They just lost. I just don't think they could get beaten twice in a row by Southeast Melbourne.
I'm looking for three things. Adnams minutes.
Yep.
Any early foul trouble.
Uh-huh.
Any early foul trouble. But also, I mean, we've seen Southeast Melbourne do this all year. Big loss, look really bad. Next game, look really good. Yep. Well, you know, this swing is now swinging against them again where they play. This will be the first time they're going to put two good games together, and it has to be in game three of the semifinal. So
let me see if I can make a case for them, though. Okay. You're not going to see them shoot the three that badly again, I wouldn't think. I think
this was historically poor, so I think that's really sad. Just that again, 4 of 25, 16%. I've never seen shooting that bad at a professional level.
It's terrible. Brokoff, they need to figure out an offense to actually get him the ball when he's open. And he's got – I actually thought his release was a bit quicker than what it turns out to be. It seems like he's very slow to get in position to score. Whereas Steindl, for instance, you compare it with him, he can sort of run off, curl, and elevate for a three. It really feels like Brokoff has to have those feet set, and it's kind of the slow hitching release.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a catapult action. Yeah, I see that.
So it might be a bit slower, but interesting to see. And then secondly, I want to say Mitch Creek is now angry Mitch Creek. I think he's gotten himself fired up, and he's going to come out with something to prove in this next game, and he's going to want to destroy Pete Ling.
that was funny.
So that's the method by which they can win. Shoot the ball normally and don't miss free throws.
Yeah.
And go through the creek.
Man, you got to attack Landau. You need help. You need him off the floor because Melbourne do look really good with him on the floor. I think this is the simple thing. Looking at this stat box, this is what a Southeast Melbourne stat box should have looked like all year. Wetzel with 20, Sykes with 26, Creek with 26. I should be able to look blindly at the stat box, not seeing any names, and know exactly who those, well, particularly Sykes and Creeks. I should know exactly who they are. They both had 18 field goal attempts. That is, to me, that's a very simple mathematical equation. Get those two guys shooting it a lot, and you're in a good spot. It's going to be a really good game, but I'm actually going to go with the United. I'm quietly confident in United, just because Southeast Melbourne, they don't play two good games in a row. They haven't done it all year, and I'm not going to bet on them to do it in game three when it really matters.
Yeah. I'm tipping Melbourne. I was just making a case for Southeast.
No, you made a strong case. Listen, if Creek plays like that, no one who can guard him. They don't have the Barber's not ready. Pete Ling's too young. You know, they don't have the guys in between that can go with him. Do you want to jump over the other series?
Yeah. Another great series on the other side.
Very ground down. Boy, I thought game one was unwatchable in the Perth Illawarra series. Just 3-point attempts and misses. It was a tough one. I did not enjoy it aesthetically. Did you enjoy it?
No, it was super ugly. I only like it just because it was a finals game and, you know, there was a level of intensity to it. But it wasn't a spectacular performance by any means.
I do have some pointers on that one. I wrote some stuff on my phone. Man, that series about rebounding. I don't see enough offensive talent on the floor for either of them.
Nope.
And whoever wins the rebound is going to win. And I think that's a pretty, it's a pretty sort of fatuous stat, because most of the time when you win the rebounds, you win the game. But I think especially in that series. And then that game one, I think the Wildcats only grabbed 4 offensive rebounds. I think I've got it written here.
Sounds about right.
They got beaten on the boards in total, but I think Illawarra grabbed in the mid-teens, and I think Perth, for the first time maybe this season, grabbed less than 5. If you've got the stats there, you can fact-check that. And I think there was a very simple reason as to why Perth weren't able to get the offensive rebounds that they normally do.
Six offensive.
That's historically low for them. Yep. And I think the reason why it was so low is because they didn't have Cotton's – like I didn't see a lot of – rotational defense from Illawarra before, like Cotton. They had to trap him, they had to do this, they had to worry about him, and as a result the other guys were kind of scrambling to pick up after a double team, and that's where, you know, Mooney stuck in for a rebound or someone else. When they were able to sort of, oh, there's no Bryce Cotton here, we can kind of play these guys more one-on-one, more straight up, they just didn't have that defensive rebounding confusion on the part of the Hawks, and that's why they didn't get it. It wasn't an effort thing from the Wildcats. But then you go into game two, and because Steindl, especially in that third quarter, was coming off picks, and he was just going to – if he caught it, he was going to shoot it. He had been told by Gleason, if you're not going to shoot it, just sit down, don't even bother. And he came out and he shot it, and he was all the better for it. And they, as a result of that, like, okay, I know when Clint catches it, he's going to shoot it. Players were able to go to the glass. How did you see game two?
Yeah, I think Steindl even made mention of that in the press conference. I think he talked about – predictable shots. You know, they said they were getting more predictable shots, and I think that that plays into everything that works for them. They know, then the rebounders know to get in position. You know, you've got to shoot those ones that are part of the structured offense to help everything work, and if make or miss, it's the right shot to take.
The other thing I want to say about game two is AJ Ogilvy fouled out within 12 minutes, seriously within the second quarter. I think he was gone. He sort of regressed to the mean a little bit, and they needed him. I was just thinking about how, oh, geez, actually, gosh, imagine if they had Bairstow in this series. Obviously, if the Wildcats had Cotton, it wouldn't be a series, but...
Yeah, it really does change it. So Ogilvy was out. That really helped, because the Wildcats, you know, were able to just overpower the Hawks inside at that point, made the offensive rebounding that much easier. But really, the game too, it was the Jervis game, right? I mean, not Jervis game. What am I saying? Travis. Well, I was looking at Tom Jervis on the box score, and I said,
he got the minute and a half.
He was pumping up Travis. He was getting him ready for the game beforehand. Travis, double, man, double. What a game. Jeez.
Yeah. We just looked so athletic, didn't he?
Yeah, he could just attack the rim. And some of those rebounds he gets, he just skies over guys.
Absolutely.
Long arms and a good jump, and just seems to time it well. So he's got the trifecta. Just really works nicely for him.
One thing I wanted to jump in, because I remember I said how after game one, you know, this is a game of basketball. This is the better players win. I'm very cynical. I don't really believe in culture that much. A little bit. You don't want to bet. I believe in bad culture makes you lose, but I don't think a winning culture, obviously I think it's trumped up because it's an easy thing to write about and it's an easy thing to talk about. Like, oh, the Wildcats have this ephemeral thing you can't put your finger on. Well, they still played Wildcats basketball when they lost under Vlahov and whatever else. I think the bankroller Bender is more important, but I digress. Back to game one and two. I forgot what I was going to say now. But Travers, if you look at his highlights, a lot of them came up against that sort of weaker, younger front line of the Hawks. Like, Sam Frohling had his first really bad game, 2 points, 1 of 5. Like, just, I don't know what happened to him. He just didn't have it, and they had no one else to go with. He played 33 minutes despite it not being his night. Isaac White fouled out early. I thought he was very hard done by it. Or did he foul out or come close to? No, he had 4. But like Emmett Nahr played 14 minutes, donuts across the board. I he will not play in game 3. I would suspect if he can't shoot, you don't help Harvey. Greeter was out there. I remember him grabbing a big rebound over, I think it was either Greeter or White, and it was clear, like, oh, they can't go with that young kid, and he made him look silly.
Yep.
It's
amazing that Tim Conrad is playing like 20 minutes. Yeah, guy that wasn't on the team.
19 minutes. Yeah, and he played 25 in game one.
It's amazing.
and I was saying that before about the flex offense and all that. I was like, oh, you know, yeah, they run the flex and it's great and all, but gee, I would like to watch this game again. And when I say the game, I mean game two, because I saw them going away from the flex a lot and giving Travers room to just go at the hoop and a little bit of Norton before he got hurt. And that actually went away from the flex more than I thought they were accustomed to. What do you think?
I don't know if they went so much as I'd say they went away from it. I think they probably just changed the points of emphasis for it. So, yeah, right. So rather than, you know, having lots of curl cuts and that kind of thing, they're sort of initiating it a little bit earlier and allowing that guy that might set a pick halfway for a curler to just attack the rim. I just think it's a bit of an earlier option. But, you know, there's the way Gleason coaches that thing, there's so many options to it now. Yeah, what is flex and what isn't? Sometimes it's like, oh.
Magne. I want to talk about Magne. Played 21 minutes in the game two, the win. Played about the same, actually, 19 in game one, but seemed to do a little bit more in game two. I thought it was a mistake by Gleason not to – when there was a real moment of demarcation where the Wildcats really started to lose the backboard in game one.
Yep.
And I thought, you got to put Magne on the floor. I know it's not the custom thing. You're going against the grain, but you got to feel the game. And I thought it was a real mistake not to do that. Seemed to do it a little bit more in game two, or there wasn't that imperative, but – I don't know, Magne in this series, where have you seen?
He still hasn't really come to terms with things. And I think I'm worrying a little bit about his own psychology at this point. I'm wondering if I'm detecting a bit of dejection and a bit of frustration from him about not being on the court more. I thought he would come on again in this second game down the stretch. And he didn't seem to get as many minutes as I thought he might. And I feel like that block – that was called that attempted block that was a goaltend kind of was just the final nail in the coffin for him and Gleason. It kind of summed it all up. He was trying to do too much and it was just dumb. Yeah. And I think, oh geez, that's the kind of thing that Gleason hates.
Yeah.
Dumb plays.
I do recall that now that you mention it.
And I feel like that was just sort of summed it up in a little microcosm of like, that he's just still not getting what his job is, you know, trying to do too much too soon.
The guy I worry about, like I'm looking here at Jarrett Bairstow, had 14 minutes, played okay, carried a couple of rebounds. I just think those minutes should go to Magne. I saw him being very timid, very tentative with the ball. A couple of turnovers, he had two turnovers in the game, but boy, they were right as the game was in the balance. And I thought, I can't trust him.
Like, yeah, but it's funny because I think it's trust that led to Bairstow being on the court down the stretch, if I remember correctly. I think he was on towards the end of the game.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah,
and I think it is that Gleason trusts him. He knows what he's gonna do. He's gonna work hard on the boards. He's, you know, and I agree. I would have been more comfortable actually with Magne being on the court, but I think I can see why he isn't.
One thing I worry about, all right, so now we'll talk about game three, unless you've got anything else to add about the previous two games, but you got some?
No. Go ahead.
Well, the thing for me, 15 turnovers in game two for the Wildcats. That was more than Illawarra's 9. That's too many for the Wildcats. And obviously that's a symptom of Mitch Norton getting the 10 minutes and going out hurt. I actually kind of must have missed that or had my head turned or whatever because I didn't actually see him go down. Is he going to play game three?
You'd have to say it's iffy. So when he went down, it didn't look like anything happened on the down. It almost looked like he hurt himself being pulled up. His teammate sort of pulled him up and he went to sort of get pulled up and sprint off at the same time. And it was almost like, oh, is that the thing that did it? I don't know. But geez, you'd have to wonder. Flying back on an airplane is never good for an injury. You're getting a lot of treatment on it.
Short turnaround too. It's not like it's a couple of days like it normally is. It's they're playing tomorrow night.
If he's going to play, it'll be limited minutes, if at all. So I think Kevin White's going to have to really step up.
Let's talk about Kevin White. It's been a bit of
Dan Ewing is going to – like he's proposing we build the trophy now based on game two. Don't think we're ready.
Dear me.
He asked me about building the trophy. I said to him that he talked about a gold trophy. And I said we can make it gold plated at the moment based on Kevin White's game two performance.
A veneer of gold.
Yeah. Solid gold if he steps up in game three.
I mean, he was the point guard on a winning team. But yeah, those turnovers are too high. I wonder if Gleason's going to toy with the idea of having Norton and Kevin White on the floor at the same time four stretches, especially late, where it's like we just need to secure the backboard and the ball when we have it, and maybe it's those two. And but who do you take off, you know, and who do you match up with? I don't know.
And what do you miss on the offensive end with those two guys? Like they're okay. They can't leave them naked, but gee, they're not dynamic.
No, far from it. So, yeah, no, it's that's a real worry. And then
I was thinking about whether this is Taylor Britt's time to shine.
Get out of here.
Mike, you're brought into the team.
Go away.
It's previously a turnover waiting to happen, but you never know. Yeah. Cometh the moment, cometh the man.
Yeah, it's possible. Who's going to win game three and why?
Perth's going to win game three. Yeah. It's a home game. I sensed real deflation from Tim Conrad in the press conference.
Totally.
Man, he was talking about, came so close. We'll think about it afterwards. You know, like he was already having a lot of negative self-talk in that press conference. They needed to win this one.
My question to you is, like, have they blown it? I think they've blown it. There's no way they're going back to Perth and winning again. That game one was an absolute aberration. They won the rebound count and the turnover count and the offensive rebound count. They're probably not going to do any one of those three things in game three. And even if they do one of them, it's not enough. You know, they need to win two of those things. They're not going to do that. They're going to lose in Perth. I'd be willing to bet quite a lot of money.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've left the opportunity lip.
Such a shame.
Yeah.
We haven't really spoke about the Hawks, what they did in that game too. Oh, we did a bit. Oh, we Jessup kind of caught fire late, but was quiet. Justin Simon.
He's great.
Game two is a bit average. I just thought Boddy put it best in the episode we last did, where it's like, where's his focus sometimes? Like, was he trying to lock people up? Was he a little bit too hyped from that game one win, tried to do too much? I don't know. He was still quite good, but, Harvey had 24. Yeah,
Harvey's been expensive, though. He's not shooting well.
Very expensive.
Although you look at the stat line.
9 of 23, 3 of 12 from the outside.
Yeah. Hang on, 3 of 12 from twos.
From twos. Oh, wow. Sorry, pardon me.
Yeah, because I thought the same thing, and I'm looking at the box score, and it's like saying 6 of 11 from threes.
Yeah, pardon me.
I'm like, am I looking at the right game? Yeah, I am. It didn't feel like that. He must have hit a couple late because he felt more expensive than that. But, it was that 3 of 12 early. He got going a bit later in the game. But
the problem they kind of have is I thought the Wildcats were very comfortable with Deng Deng being on the floor and leaving him naked. He had 9 points, 4 of 9, but there was a stretch there where it was starting to get ugly, and Gorgian could sense it, and we didn't see Deng Deng after I think the second or third quarter.
Yeah,
he was gone, and I thought the Wildcats were like, if you're going to play him, yeah, we're going to see it, and that's where that rebounding count started to trickle without him on the floor, that length and athleticism. So,
yeah,
So we both agree Wildcats win game three at home.
Yep.
Quick Which look forward to grand final.
What we always predicted.
My question would be then, do the Wildcats have a chance?
Oh, again, in the grand final, you mean?
Yeah.
I would say no, and my brain still says no. And then I look at how Southeast Melbourne locked up Melbourne defensively today, and that's the Wildcats blueprint. Do that, right? But you've got to do it three times. So I just can't see it happening. The level of talent, the talent differential, and if you say the Wildcats may have a injured or not even have a Mitch Norton, I don't know. Got it. There'd have to be, it would be some kind of upset for the Wildcats to win it. So no, Melbourne.
They don't have home court. I mean, if they had home court, I'd kind of be like, oh, maybe.
But what's home court? Is it Sydney?
Well, home court would be Perth would play its home games in Perth, and then Melbourne, I assume, would maybe play in Adelaide or Sydney. But yeah, read about that? What's going to happen going forward?
Because what's the point? What's the point of flying back? Just have it in Perth with an empty stadium or something?
They're not going to do that.
They won't do it. There's no way on God's green earth.
No, be in Melbourne. The case numbers are down. I would have thought they'd be safe to travel there, no?
Okay.
I saw one locally transmitted case today, but I'm not I don't look at Melbourne's cases, but
yeah,
I think they're okay. I mean, Cam Glidden got out of there, so it couldn't have been too rough, but I would have thought the series is going ahead, as in Melbourne split with Perth, you know, that the home games are going to be where they are. Let's say that's the case,
okay,
where Melbourne get their home games. I just think if you can get Landau in foul trouble. I think the Wildcats are a better chance. Gee, would I pick them? If Norton's healthy, I'll reconvene. We'll reconvene before then and discuss. But I just think Perth can win at home. They got to steal one at Melbourne. It's hardly a fortress. Those fans are pretty pedestrian. Sorry, Melbourne United fans. Yeah. All you need is a foul count to go the wrong way.
Yeah.
So toughy. But the turnovers, I worry about Norton, even at the best of times, and then certainly Kevin White against that pressure of McCarron, Illy in particular,
yeah,
and Barber. I really worry about that for the Wildcats. If you're a Wildcat fan, be worried.
Oh, that
permission to panic. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was the one thing I was going to say about Illawarra as well. I really noticed the Gorgian defense being played by him. The amount up and ins they were getting, the deflections. That's always a thing Gorgian's always gone on about, is how many deflections do you get in a game? They were really playing that sort of disruptive defense that is a Gorgian trademark. It was first time I've really seen him do it.
Mm. We won't be too speculative about the grand final because it hasn't happened yet and we're still waiting on news on Norton. I'm just going to quickly type him into Google, Mitch Norton, and see if there's been any update on him it's all just talking about game two. So that'd be true. Oh, just quickly, did you see this thing in the West Australian about Gleeson upset that the NBL broadcast showed his whiteboard?
Yes, I did see that.
What do you think of that story?
I think, if I was Trevor Gleeson, I'd be complaining the same thing. I don't think there was any scandal or anything to it. This is the same TV crew that show and replays during live games.
It was really bad. It was bad in these finals. Jesus Christ.
It is not the fault. It's not some great conspiracy. It's Muppets who don't know how to broadcast the game properly.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked by it. Like, I would have thought you'd at least trim that stuff up a bit, but there were times I was just on Twitter sort of casually and people were going wild. Nick Tan he goes wild about this on the Twitter. Absolutely. But that was funny.
It is important that every Hawks home game, we see that dude in the Viking helmet.
Yeah,
contracted vision. They have to show that dude.
The Nazi motorcycle helmet with the spines on the top.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, bless him. If you're listening, good on you. Yeah, he's there every game. I think we're only going to do this quickly. We're at half an hour. Is there anything else? Any other agenda? Anything else on the agenda?
No other agenda other than I am really pumped. I'm really glad these have both gone to three. I think it's fantastic. I think they've both got beautiful storylines running through them. It's going to be.
You're more excited about the Melbourne Southeast Melbourne one. I'll just say I am. I'm more excited.
I think
that's going to be a little bit deflating. I see Wildcats winning, not big because they can't put up big scores, but comfortably. I really do.
But no, I'm more intrigued by the Melbourne series. Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting.
It's got more anger in it. Yeah. Creek was angry. Creek was really, really angry. And Landau wasn't happy. And I think when you get that bad boom of bad blood a bit, it's a bit of fun. A lot of fun.
So what is it? We'll see you in game three, fuckers.
Let's end it there. Perfect.